EMS on the Mountain is an entertainment, educational, and commentary product recorded by Sean and Mike and produced by them. Nothing recorded by Sean, Mike, or any of the guests of the show is endorsed nor authorized by their respective employers or agencies unless explicitly outlined. All commentary and statements made are their own. Always follow your respective medical protocols. Nothing said on this platform should be considered medical direction. Now, on with the show.
Welcome to the EMS on the Mountain podcast, a show for those interested in austere and wilderness medicine. This podcast provides insight into the unique aspects and challenges of bringing modern EMS into wilderness and austere environments. So here we are again. Thanks for tuning in again this week.
We appreciate your service.
We love it. So if you don't know what you're listening to, this is another episode of EMS on the Mountain. At this point,
also fix yourself.
If you haven't figured out what you're listening to on your podcast, thanks for tuning in, intentionally or not. This one may or may not be a short topic, but we're going to discuss toxic organizations, and it's definitely a bit off the norm for us.
But man, do we know some things about toxic organizations.
Yes, at one level or another, anybody that's ever worked in EMS, probably greater than
6 weeks,
4 years.
Yeah.
you've probably been exposed to. Now, you might have gotten lucky and you came to work for a fantastic agency right out the gate as soon as you got all your certs. But for most of us, we've been exposed at least once in our careers to what we would call a toxic organization. Even every now and again, I contemplate going to work for one to go just to do some critical care transport, just for funsies.
That place is known as a toxic organization.
It has a horrible reputation. It is not known for being a stellar, high-performing agency.
It's the definition of toxic.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
But they pay okay, and maybe I'll get bored and want to do some critical care transport now and again.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes.
So the first question I have, Sean, is how do you identify a toxic organization? And I'm not asking that to be an asshole, though. I'm asking that because I completely agree with what we just said, right? If you've done this job for more than a few years, you've probably engaged at some level in a toxic organization.
Yeah.
But for our newer, younger, less experienced providers that are listening to this dance, how do you know whether or not the game you're playing is in a toxic house?
I'd say there's a few telltales, and I'm sure we'll discuss this in detail, but this is almost falls under the you'll know it when you see it kind of thing.
Mm.
And I'll also say this is also perception is reality. If I don't believe where I'm working is a toxic org because, I don't know, you could say I'm a bad human or a bad provider, but I think everything we do is great. I think leadership is wonderful. Then either there's something wrong with me or there's something wrong with my coworkers who think where we work is a horrible, toxic environment. So I think you have to take, if you're looking to move agencies, you have to take it with a bit of a grain of salt as to the agency's reputation and is it known as a toxic environment or not? Because what is toxic for one might be completely acceptable for another.
I agree.
But I would say, just off the top of my head, poor leadership. When I say poor leadership, I mean you've got supervisors who will, as quickly as humanly possible, toss you under the bus to protect themselves or the agency.
Yep.
Whether that was a simple med error, you backed into a tree with the ambo on scene, something like benign things. And if they are quick to immediately blame you, you are 100% at fault and look for ways to punish or fire you, that's probably toxic. You'll remember you and I were working for a company a few years ago, And we were invited to become part of some of the senior leadership of that group. And everything was built up about all the progress and the change that's going on in the organization and how life is grand and things are on the upswing. And then we went into the larger body of everybody. And that same person was touting how they've been talking with HR and legal about ways they can fuck all their people and ways to punish them and take their pay. And at that point, I decided that is not the organization I want to be a part of.
Yeah, that's not the and game I, was I wanted out. To play either. We punched out, right?
Yeah, and you and I both left.
Yep.
Because clearly, it's toxic leadership, right? If the leader was not looking about ways, hey, how can I make my people better? How can I make this agency better? And instead is talking about ways to punish you, ways to fine you, take money because of perceived infractions, yep. That's not where you want to be. That, I would say, is solid in the toxic realm. And I think you could just spread that across, right? If your agency is always looking for ways to punish and not improve, that's a clear sign.
That's a clear
Now, obviously, indicator. There's times when individual crews, whatever, need, we'll call it a punishment or a formal corrective action be taken. Certainly, it must be done. Otherwise, it becomes the Wild West and people just start doing stuff that's absurd. But the goal then, and I think this kind of, you could circle it back to that just culture, the, all right, you made a mistake. Did anybody die? No. Okay, that's good. What led to this mistake? How can we fix it? Is it training on your part? Is it something we need to fix? Whatever it might be, right? Those are signs of a good agency, right? I don't care what it is, whether you're a training organization, you're 911, you're volunteer, search and rescue, EMS, fire, like across the board. You work for IBM, right? Like, these are things you want to look for. So let's identify a problem and let's fix the problem. Not, hey, there's a problem and it's all you. And so, okay. So that's just my quick take.
Yeah, I tend to agree. So here's how I'll sum up recognizing toxic environment. One, this is the obvious one. You feel that you have to be careful about what you do. Now, I'm not talking about dick jokes in the firehouse. Like, the days of those are over, right? It is basically a family in the house, but you can't get away with some of the things that we used to get away with each other, right? That's called social progress. That's not a toxic organization. But if you feel when you come to work or engage in work activities that you don't want to ask a question out of ignorance or desire to expand your knowledge, scope, understanding, so it's either just, I don't know the answer, or I want to be better and I want help being better. If you don't feel that you can openly ask questions related to either of those realms, and you might be looked at as inferior or in quote unquote an idiot for asking those questions, or you feel that asking those questions could impact your career, that could be a toxic environment. I'm not necessarily saying it is a toxic environment, but it's certainly a flag, right?
Yeah.
If your supervisors do any sort of condemnation of individuals, professional condemnation of individuals publicly, or any supervisory personnel have conversations about a third party or disciplines that had occurred against a third party with other members of the agency, that's probably a toxic organization. Because that means that if they're telling you about something Timmy did, it means they're going to tell Timmy or Bob about something that they had to talk to you about. And it builds a culture of looking over your shoulder and making sure that nobody's tattling, as opposed to working together to be successful as an organization, right?
Yeah.
And then finally, and this is the big one, or this is a big one for me. If the organization doesn't seem to be invested in your success, and you have to fight for things. And I'm not saying that this one isn't as clear cut, but for example, workers' compensation, time off for injury, right? If you feel like you have to go to battle over that, as opposed to people saying, here's our policy, if we need to do something else for you, or you need extenuating circumstances, we're willing to talk about it, as opposed to the answer being, due to hope you can come back to work in 4 weeks because that's when your workers' comp expires and that's the end of the conversation. Something's broken there, right? It doesn't mean that they can necessarily solve it. That's a little bit harder to suss out. Like, we all have bosses, right? Everyone's got a boss. I don't care how high up the echelon you go, somebody is always there to potentially overrule you. But if it is always black and white about every sort of HR matter, and there's an assumption of impropriety before there's any sort of understanding as to the totality of the situation, and that's probably a relatively toxic environment. And it may not even be your coworkers, right? Those of you doing care, those of you wanting to do better, wanting to provide the best care possible, all your coworkers can be awesome. But if it turns out the leadership or the HR side or the management side of the organization just does not care, or the leadership is not willing to advocate for good things because they're just, this is a secondary effect of a lot of just the way that things work, but retirement systems in public service are often related or based on like high three versus a retirement plan. Like in the private sector, retirement just works differently. There aren't pension programs and things like that, but it's a lot of people that don't want to lead anymore that try to get into leadership roles or never wanted to lead but get into leadership roles because they want the high three for their retirement. It's about personal drive, not helping the organization. If you feel that, that's probably a toxic organization. And that's going to be a hard one. There's a lot of that out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You know, certainly happens. It's not just the fire service, right? It's that, with places that have those types of pension type retirements, it's like law enforcement, fire, EMS, government, anybody that uses those types of systems. Yeah, people try to jockey for positions because they want that extra bump in their retirement, which, that's cool. I don't blame you for it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you did accept that position and the increased responsibilities that generally come with it. So do the job. Don't just blow it off. I'll look into that. But like, yeah, man, sometimes it's hard, right? Yeah. My personal life, I've put in for potentially another job position with increased responsibilities, but it's, I'm ready for that though. I will gladly do the extra work because it's work I want to do. And if you don't want to do the work, like I totally respect on the fire side, just because I deal with these people all the time. Like I'm going to stay a master technician. I don't want to be a lieutenant or a captain. Like I like riding the truck. I like doing what I do on fire. I don't want to have any part of that. Like good on you. If you don't have any career aspirations to become a chief somewhere, then good. That's great. Because I'd rather have that guy who's like the 30-year master tech who knows an engine inside and out and just knows all of the things that you want a firefighter to know than somebody who took a chief's or captain's or other supervisor's position who really isn't any more qualified. They're just simply were a qualified senior candidate, but they don't really want the work.
Right.
I'll leave that conversation out, but there's, you know what I mean? That's great. Like, don't become a chief or a captain just because you want the increased money, right? You got to want the responsibility of being a station captain, of being responsible for a larger collective of individuals.
Yeah. Yeah. Be committed to success and progress. Right.
Yeah. And and you work for an EMS agency or volunteer, you're part of a volunteer SAR group and your SAR group's leadership has no interest in training or improving the skills and knowledge of their members.
Or progressing themselves. Right. And this is that's somewhat uniquely volunteer thing. Not completely, but somewhat uniquely volunteer thing. I have often seen, you've heard me say this, Sean. It is not uncommon to see people rise in the ranks of leadership in a volunteer organization because they have not achieved some sort of professional satisfaction or personal satisfaction in other aspects of their lives. And because they have achieved that, I'm the ops officer or I'm the assistant chief or I'm the chief of my agency, they want to just hang on to it because it's the only aspect of success they need, right? Whereas a not so toxic organization, the leader should be looking for their replacement the day they take over as the leader. They should be grooming and helping people do a better job than they did in the job that they did for the time they did it, as opposed to saying, I'm the boss, I've achieved boss status, and I'm going to rule with an iron fist as the boss.
Yeah.
So what do you do if you're in a toxic agency?
If you've got the option A is always go away.
Yeah, quit.
Like, so and I would offer this up, though, is, and this is just me, right? Back from my youth, don't come to me with a problem if you don't have some sort of solution.
Right.
Now, if you do work in a place like this and you see a problem, if you make a good faith effort to maybe fix or help get it on the right path, and the leadership and the personnel involved are like, yeah, nah, that's too much work, we're not doing that, then it's okay, I'm out then.
Yep.
But if you come to leadership and you say, hey, listen, me and some of the other people, we've noticed a problem with X. Here's how we'd like to start approaching the problem. Let's implement this. Maybe it's a training thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a new piece of equipment to help do the thing. I don't know, whatever it is.
Hey, boss, I'm going to offer to write a new policy for this that you can review and decide whether you like it or not. Right?
Exactly, right? And then it's if they're like, all right, let's sit down with whatever appropriate leadership members there are. Let's look at this. Sure, we'll trial it. If it works, we'll build on it. If it doesn't work, then obviously we're going to go back to it. And then it's hard for you to complain and want to. You can still leave, obviously, if it's something you're really that concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if they're willing to listen to you and try something different to maybe make an improvement, it's probably not that toxic of a place. Then it's, hey, we really want to implement RSI. We don't do that here. So, all right, but our use case is like one patient a year.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should still have it. All right. Write up a policy for it. Who should have the capability?
Mm-hmm.
What's our standard
for
it?
And if you want bonus points, go get a hold of your supply guy and find out what it would cost to be replacing the drugs on a regular basis upon expiration, because dollars drive a lot of conversations.
Yeah. It's, yeah. You don't currently stock, maybe you don't currently stock ketamine or Etomidate or some of the other things commonly associated with RSI or laryngoscopes for that matter. Maybe your agency simply doesn't intubate because we don't see enough of a patient volume that requires it. So we use supraglottics and BLS standard airways.
And just so we're on the same page, it's going to be pretty hard to get an RSI program started if it turns out you don't have tubes. Just
say if you already intubate at any level. Yeah.
That's going to be a thing.
Yeah. Let's start with, okay, we only intubate cardiac arrests and traumas that you can't, whatever. Anyway,
right.
We're getting
anyway,
too far off here.
I was being snarky.
I would say, yeah, so if you bring a solution and your agency's like, yeah, now fuck you, this is not what we do, then okay, move. If it's something you're that really concerned you, leave. If it's a minor thing, hey, I think we should switch from vinyl to silicone, whatever. Nah, vinyl's cheaper, we're sticking with it. All right, cool. If that's the hill you want to die on, so be it, right? One of the agencies I'm with switched up their gloves, and all the providers hate the new gloves, but that's the gloves.
Those are the gloves, right? Pick your fights.
These are the gloves we buy. Deal with it. It's like,
yeah.
It's if that's why you want to quit is because you don't like the new gloves, wow, good luck. You're never going to be happy in this profession.
Yeah.
If there's a legit leadership issue, like Mike brought up, like you want to take vacation time, but they're continually short-staffed and they don't allow you to take your vacation time, but it's use or lose, and then you lose, and then that's a concern. I wouldn't even question that one. That's like a, yeah, no, I'm out. You guys clearly don't have your shit together, because it's telling that they're always short-staffed and they can't get replacements in, even for 6-8 months a year. Somebody comes in while they're finishing up something else and then they move on. Maybe you're third-party EMS agency and people always trying to get on the fire side, and then when they get hired and they disappear, cool. Then yeah, there's a replacement behind them that they're always having to train up. But if you've always got somebody, at least in that pipeline, that says something vice, hey, we're always 50% short, nobody wants to work here, that's something you should probably keep in the back of your mind as to why nobody wants to work here.
Oh, agreed. Now, the other side of the coin, is it toxic or is it you? Here comes the fun part. And it's probably both, but also, you don't get to claim that an agency is toxic if it turns out you're the problem. How do you know you're the problem? And this, I guarantee I'm going to get a little bit of hate mail on this one. But if it turns out you're an asshole, everybody's going to figure out you're an asshole.
Yeah.
If you are the individual that comes in and claims that every other agency you worked for had a problem with you, but you've left three other places in 4 years, you're the asshole. And to be honest, I'm not only saying that about the individual that may be asking that question of themselves, I'm saying that for observation from third parties, because those are the individuals that will bounce around in multiple places, systems, agencies, et cetera, and then land in a place that has a vacuum of leadership, and they will immediately fill the vacuum with their leadership and be the ones to hold on to the reins and say, it's my way or the highway, boys and girls. I'm in charge. I'm going to run this the way I want to. That's a real toxic person. And as a senior leader of an organization, you have to look out for that. Obviously, for a litany of reasons, I probably shouldn't talk about any examples of personnel I've interacted on that level. But if you have a problem with the way things are going and you've had this problem for a while and you've gone to multiple places and you can't seem to find happiness, you do need to look inside and say, what is it about me that doesn't like this thing? Yeah. The desire to be in charge is not the same thing as being a good leader. And the desire to be in charge because you don't like the way things are going is not the same thing as doing the work, as we mentioned, like writing a policy, advocating for it, doing the research, standing your ground and saying, this is why I think things need to be better. And here's what I propose, right? Sean has said it multiple times in multiple podcasts. Don't ever come with a problem, come with a solution. And solutions are the only thing we care about.
Yeah. And I would say it's like your solution doesn't have to be the 100% like this is going to be it.
Doesn't have to be the answer, but come with options.
Hey, we've been having trouble with X. What if we implemented a quarterly training session to cover this? Like those, like we've mentioned before, like those high acuity, low volume calls or those procedures, like surgical crike or a needle thor or a finger thor, right? Man, that's a, if you did it once a year, it'd be like, cool, but to prevent us from screwing it up, we should host at least biannual, if not quarterly, refreshers on those things, intubations, surgical airways. Let's stay up at least on training on those things. And if your agency's, yeah, that's actually a really good idea. Look at what are some resources and they might put it on you. Okay. We would support this. Do some research. What would it cost to get trainers for these procedures? To buy a good, like a legit good salad mannequin for some dirty airway stuff, right? Like those aren't necessarily cheap.
If anybody's got a good one, I'm looking for one. I have not found something that blows my doors off, but I know they're out there.
Yeah.
What I found was that cadaver at that class we took.
When?
But they had him hooked up with salad fluid.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. I mean,
it was great, yeah, because they were like giving artificial blood pressure, so when you did procedures, they would bleed. Like,
it was
that.
Awesome.
Yeah, obviously that training is great, and I will always seek it out. But there's, you can get on the interwebs and you can search for some simple salad trainers, crike trainers, whatever it is. Just if they say, hey, look at what it would cost to implement this, just get out there and do some research. Like, okay, at the high end, like these super badass, super lifelike mannequins cost this much. I think we would need two or three. We can use this basic mannequin. No, it's always going to be the salad mannequin because it's going to get just disgusting, but it'll work. Like, cool. Let's go with that one. Or we can do this super janky thing. It works. It's not ideal, but it'll get the job done. At least everybody will understand the principles. Okay. Maybe somewhere in the happy ground, you can figure that out. And then you start implementing it and see if it goes. And then you can make adjustments from there. But if you don't come with, hey, our airway stats suck, you need to fix that. And leadership's going to be like, we already provide everybody an annual training and you have your CEs. And why does your airway stuff still suck? You got to come with a little bit of something. And I got to say, when I circle back to what you were just saying too, Mike, if you look around and you're always like, God, everybody's an asshole. Everybody sucks. The only one around here that works is me. The problem probably isn't everyone. It's probably you, right? If everybody's an asshole, you're the asshole. It's highly unlikely that you are the only competent individual at your organization. I'm not saying it's not possible, because there are some organizations that already, like we mentioned in the earlier, we opened the podcast. there are agencies that are out there that have horrible reputations, and nobody that's a good quality provider stays at them, right? Like, mm-hmm. you really could be that gleaming nugget of gold in a pile of shit, in which case you will know it and you will leave, right? That's pretty obvious to differentiate. But like Mike said, if you're on your fourth agency in 3 years, you need to start taking a hard internal look.
And right? you need to.
And I know that's hard.
Yeah.
But come on, guys. Like, a little self-introspection. Like, we mentioned on, I don't even know what, last podcast maybe, when we're talking about, or no, maybe it's the first one of the year, we were just talking about when you should be a leader, when it's cool to yell at folks and be a little more aggressive with things.
Oh, yeah.
You're just being an asshole. Right? Yeah, there are times that I know Mike has too. We admit it, that we've come off as a bit more aggressive than it was initially intended.
Yeah.
And you look at that and go, yeah, I probably could have handled that one a little bit better. And then maybe you go talk to the person or peoples that were involved with it saying, hey, guys, sorry I was a little short with you on that one, but this is what's going on and whatever.
My bad. Yeah.
Or if you just keep going, like, yeah, fuck them. They're always wrong. Dude, it's, yeah. So it's.
So I'll sum it up this way.
Yeah.
If you're in a toxic place, unless you are going to commit a lot of mental energy to making it better, try and then be willing to pull chocks. If everywhere you go is toxic, you probably need to do more introspection, because you're not going to find happiness or satisfaction in the job if you don't solve whatever that problem is.
Yeah.
And if some of you think that's the case, hit us up. I'll have a frank conversation with you. I've been a leader for a long time, and I've made more mistakes than I've had successes. You know, if there's any young people out there that wonder whether or not they are having problems with things, I'm willing to have a conversation with you, because I probably made the same mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah, hell. Even if you've got questions like, hey, I'm currently, you don't even have to tell us the name of the agency, but I worked at this place. Yeah. Say, yeah. And actually don't, because what if I want to go there one day?
Yeah.
I've noticed these things. Is this me or is this them? And we can give you a little bit of insight on what we think, but at the same time, this kind of goes back to, you got to give the honest appraisal, not just your opinion of what's going on.
Right.
And for all of our friends out there who've been EMS providers for a while, you see this with your patients, right? If you're not honest with me as your provider, you're not honest with your doctor when you're going in discussing possible problems, you can't get fixed, right? Like, I'm always complaining about this abdominal pain, and I'm always going, but I won't tell the doc that I participate in activity X or whatever it might be. Just fix my abdominal pain. You ever been involved in this? No. And if the answer is yes, but you keep saying no, then the doc's like, shit, I don't know what else it could be then, because usually this is associated with this thing. And if you don't do that thing, allegedly, then it's hard for people to help and fix it. So you got to take the same thing. You got to make that honest look at yourself. Okay, this place sucks. Is this me? Okay, I show up to work on time. I go to trainings as necessary. I seek out additional training. I've talked to leadership about trying to improve some things. I've made suggestions and offered to help. I've offered to teach the class. Maybe you came from another agency. You moved states, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you came from an agency where they had this one program that you thought was really good. You went to your leadership and say, hey, I'm willing to teach this. I'll teach this class once a month, all year long. Just, I think this is something that'd be good for everybody to know and be familiar with and practice. I'll teach it. And if they're like, nah, fuck you, that's stupid. Okay, then that's an agency leadership problem. But if they're like, yeah, we're on board, and then a couple months into it, people are like, yeah, that was stupid. Maybe it's you, right? Maybe it's you're not as good as an instructor as you thought you were, or maybe the idea wasn't as grand as you necessarily thought it was.
Right.
That might be a bad example, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah, just, you have to do that hard look, and you got to be honest with both yourself and the appraisal of the agency to really know. Like I said, some places, it'll be pretty obvious. If you're getting ready to go work somewhere, and some of the people that work there, hey, man, I'm thinking about coming here. And the first thing out of their mouth is, dude, don't. It's like, okay, yeah. Then you should probably start taking a hard look at the why.
Here's your sigh, right?
And it could be like, okay, tell me why. And there's, here's the deal. This is what I've experienced. When my wife is getting ready to give birth, they were like, they canceled my leave and they did this and they did this. And it's okay. Now remember, that's one story. Mm-hmm. Could that be occurring across the board? Yes. Or there could have been some other extenuating circumstances you're not aware of with that story, because that's told from one person's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But you start hearing similar things from 2, 3, 4 more people, then more than likely, that's just agency culture and nothing you want to be a part of. Ask around, see what people know. Jesus Christ, man, get on the internet, get on any of the various, if it's a relatively well-known agency, they're probably going to be on Glassdoor or some of these other
yep.
employment websites. And you can see reviews people have left about working for agency X. Like, holy hell. Like, and EMS wise, I'm just going to throw it out. AMR, American Medical Response, right? They've got contracts from California to freaking East Coast, right?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
They're all over. People will be like, AMR is the most, it's the devil of EMS work, right? But like, but I work at this EMR place in Texas and people love it. It's great. The leadership's awesome. Then that station's good to work for.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go two states over and in this city, the AMR folks, it's just a shit show train wreck. You can't hold AMR nationally necessarily accountable, right? Because
right.
all those individual stations are still individual stations, right? So I would say if you're looking to go, like you see a job posting for AMR in California or somewhere else, you got to look specifically at that particular place you're going to work and not three states over, because it could be a completely different show.
Yeah, I think that's very, I'll put it this way, be judicious. I use online things for a lot of
things.
Online sites. No, I use like Glassdoor and stuff to research a lot of things. Just be cautious and just keep in mind, Sean's absolutely right. Don't let generalities get in the way. Also, I'll put it this way. I'm trying to find a nice way of saying this, but I can't think of one, so I'll just say it. People that complain are usually the unhappy people, right?
Yes, like, that's what I was.
People don't typically go out there and say, man, I can't wait to talk shit about, or I can't wait to get on Glassdoor and talk about how amazing my employer is. Those people don't exist.
Yes. Yeah.
Just keep that in mind. That's all.
That's what I was going to say is, it's getting on Yelp reviews. Oh man, this restaurant's got so many shitty reviews. It's just a good time.
Got drunk and left. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. They had a great dinner, had some beers and they went home. Like, it's the people that want to complain that will often, especially on the social media stuff, get on and complain. So yeah, that's, again, take it with a grain of salt.
But it is a resource, right?
But
use multiple tools.
At least start
to people.
Right.
It's amazing in this industry, especially in the wilderness space, like land management land.
Oh, yeah.
Someone knows somebody.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say this is just a generality as well, is every place you want to work, the leadership of that place is going to sell it like it's the greatest place ever.
Oh, sure.
I don't care if that's federal, state, local, volunteer, career, doesn't matter.
I've never met a volunteer agency where you walk in the door and they say, are you really sure you want to be here?
We run some sketchy ops. Our membership sucks. We can't keep people in.
Our trucks are busted. Can't get members.
I see you're 45. You'd be our youngest member by 20 years.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to be here?
You want to do this? Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's like, no, we host great trainings. Like, you see those job boards. CEUs are fully funded and paid for by your organization. Holy shit, man. That's like getting on your resume and saying, I'm proficient in Microsoft Word. Like, no shit,
fair,
really?
That's still
welcome
on my
to 2024.
Resume, so. Yeah. I actually put Google Docs on there too. So I've got both Word and Google Docs proficiency on my resume.
Wow. I'm
crushing it.
Yeah. You had to put Pages then. Let's come on.
Oh, yeah. You're not wrong. Or Quip.
You better update
I
that.
Remember. I remember it's... Quip. Anyway.
I was like, yeah. So be cautious when you hear the sales pitch, because nobody's going to yeah, hey, we've got issues. Here it is, blah, blah, blah. And it's okie dokie. And if they do tell you about issues they have, they're gonna undersell, or they're gonna pick very selective ones.
Yes.
Yeah, we're a growing agency. We've had some issues here, but these are the trainings and implemented, and we've purchased and we've spent all this money, and it's like, oh, that sounds great. And then you realize that everything below that is an absolute shit show.
Yep.
So again, sometimes you're just not going to know until you're there. And then for most folks, you're going to be stuck for a few months because you got to collect those checks before you can start finding someplace else to be.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
But leave.
I guess the key is knowing whether you're going to make it there or not, right? If you can identify that this place is not a fit for me, that I guess that's the most important thing, regardless of the reason.
And start looking, right?
Yeah.
The grass may be greener on the other side, or it may not, right? Be judicious. But if the agency is toxic, it'll become pretty clear pretty quick. And you can choose to stick around, or you can choose to get the fuck out. Those are really your only options. All right, we should probably hang up now or stop talking.
That's all I have to say about that.
All right, then.
If you have any questions or comments or ideas for show topics, you can send us an email at theshow@emsonthemountain.com or hit us up on social media. We can be found on Facebook and Instagram at EMS on the Mountain, Twitter at EMSOTM, or you can engage with us and a whole community of wilderness EMS professionals at locals.com/wilderness EMS.
Until the next episode, thanks for joining us. And until we see you on the mountain, train hard, be safe, and do good work.